time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
This
is After Sunday.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of After Sunday Digging Deeper. I'm your host, Elissa, and I am joined today by a very, very special guest, Emily.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here. And you told me you've been on the podcast once or twice, so you are not technically like new.
No, I've been here a few times.
Okay, so she's old hat. So it's Emily and I today, and we are talking a little bit of a contrast to last week. So last week we talked about Old Testament worship, and this week we're going to be talking about New Testament worship. So in the way that last week we talked about Old Testament worship being very prescriptive, New Testament worship kind of freed us from all of those rules and regulations surrounding our worship today. So overall, when we look at New Testament worship, it's spiritual, so no blood and guts. Blood and guts was a little bit of a focus last week, so you're aware. Mm-hmm. And sacrifices and instruments are no longer necessary under the New Testament worship. It is simple, so our lengthy ritual ceremonies, special places, also not needed. And most importantly, and I think the biggest thing for us as Christians, it is accessible. It's available to all, and we didn't need a priestly intermediary. For this New Testament worship. So, Emily, when you think about New Testament worship, what stands out to you?
I think a lot of it, I'm thinking of, like, in the words of Jesus, like, my yoke is easy, my burden is mm-hmm. light.
Yes.
And Old Testament worship, there's so much you have to do. Mm-hmm. And the Old Testament was very different. Like, I read that, and then I think about the way that God was present with them mm-hmm. in such a way that they could see.
And they were able to have, like, kind of direct conversations, and to us today, like, we don't have that. God doesn't speak directly to us, like, in the, you know, you think like Morgan Freeman voice, God speaking to you.
Yeah, there's no fire on the mountain anymore. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, God has become more accessible, mm-hmm. and to be in the presence of God is more accessible than it ever was, even though we can't maybe see it in the same way. Mm-hmm. And so worship has changed so greatly, because before, there's so much intensity because mm-hmm. God was so physically present, but now right. he's so spiritually present, mm-hmm. and it's the yoke is easy, the burden is light,
right.
but there's so much more we can do, it feels like.
We're not filming, but Emily is so excited. Like, I'm across the table from her, and she's speaking, and like, looking at her face, she's like so excited. And that's exactly how we should be. When we view the freedom that we have when it comes to worshiping in the New Testament, especially versus the Old. So thank you, Emily. I'm so happy you're here. You're such a joy. So some of the other things that we want to talk about when it comes to New Testament worship is that Christ made the Old Testament practices obsolete. So his coming and his sacrifice kind of did away with the Old and brought in the new. So a couple of those things that we've done away with from the Old Testament are animal sacrifices. And we talked about that in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 9 through 14. And really looking at that whole chapter, overall, we're talking about Christ's sacrifice is once and for all. And in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 10, it says, "For since the law has but a shadow of good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near." So before we get down into verses 9 and 14, we talked about the Old Testament being a shadow of things to come. And here, the Bible literally says is of a shadow of the good things. And so what this is really talking about, and skipping down to verse 9, it says, "Then he added, 'Behold, I have come to do your will.' He does away with the first in order to establish the second." So that's, again, talking about the Old Testament being the first and the New Testament worship being the second. Continuing in verse 10, and by that we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So he, in the Old Testament animal sacrifices, they did not cleanse the sins. They were unable to do that. They rolled the sins forward. And so when Jesus came, he was the only one able to completely do away with those sins.
Yeah. It's so awesome to think about how this like allows us to have direct through Jesus as our high priest to have that contact with God, because in the Old Testament, you know, they had to make a sacrifice to approach God, mm-hmm. to cleanse themselves. God is so good, so holy, that approaching him in a state of unholiness and sin, you won't survive that. But now we have the one sacrifice, mm-hmm. the one blood that covers us so that we can approach God in all his holiness. And that blood atones for all of our sins and puts us in a state that we are holy enough to talk to God, mm-hmm. to be in God's presence and have mm-hmm. that access. And it's so amazing. Like, it's just such a fulfillment of what was and to what is now.
Yes. When we talk about, especially in the Church of Christ, we talk about New Testament worship, and we go to the scripture, John chapter 4, and we're looking at verses 19 through 24. And that's where we say, you know, the true worship, and we're supposed to worship in spirit and truth. And that's the root of kind of when we talk about New Testament worship. Spirit, meaning we're no longer tied to a specific place like the temple or rituals like the animal sacrifices and everything that went along with it. And in truth, you know, how God intended. So true worship is based on purity of spirit and alignment with the truth. And I think, and also based in Jesus, and he is the fulfillment of so many things. We talked a little bit last week about how all of the things like the altar, the lampstand, everything was symbolic in a shadow. And there is a correlating aspect in the New Testament, whether that is Jesus coming to die on the cross. Like when you look at animal sacrifices, the correlation in the New Testament is Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah. It's awesome. We can worship anywhere.
Yes.
We can do it anywhere. We can have personal relationship with God at any time.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's all about the level of access we have right now to God.
That's such a great point, Emily. So I'm going to, again, try to flip over to Romans chapter 12, and that talks about being a living sacrifice. So Romans chapter 12,
yeah.
verses 1 or 2, it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And that was Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And it's worship as lifestyle.
Yeah, that's one of my like favorite verses that I go back to constantly, because I think the tendency for Christians is you go to church on Sunday and that mm-hmm. becomes worship to you. But worship is the daily sacrifice, the daily laying down of your life.
Mm-hmm.
The word sacrifice is so important because it's what Jesus did on the cross, and we are emulating that every single day through our actions, by mm-hmm. making God a priority in our life, by making prayer, by making his word, by making obedience to him a priority, by spending those little moments in the day where I can choose to be inconvenienced for the thing that's going to show the love of Christ mm-hmm. and the things that God's done for me to others. And that we do every single day mm-hmm. is that's worship, that's reverence and service towards God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just so beautiful. That's the calling on our life as Christians.
100%. I mean, I could not have said it better. Thank you so much, Emily, for these insights. And it really is, you know, it's how we live our lives. And the point of all this, looking at what we did, you know, what Old Testament worship was like, looking at what the Bible says New Testament worship should be. And that's really what we're trying to do. We're not trying to say who's right and wrong here. We're just trying to look at what the Bible says and be as close to that as we possibly can, because we want to emulate Jesus as closely as possible. We want to walk the way he walked. We want to live the way that he lived. So the question that we'll leave you with today to really think about it, and we'll talk a little bit more about this next week, but does our worship reflect the pure simplicity that Jesus made possible, or do we continue to go back to and seek out the shadows of Old Testament worship? I know in class we talked a little bit about the tendency for humans to kind of go back to what's familiar. And I think when we look at as Hebrews especially, he's the audience, majority of the audience is the Jewish people. And so they're explaining this new worship, the New Testament worship that we're trying to emulate today. And they kept wanting to go back and bring in things from Old Testament worship.
Yeah, that was such a thing in the first century, is that mm-hmm. there was so much familiar, and there was this radical shift that Jesus brought in how the people who worshiped God they'd done it from the beginning of time when the Lord gave it to them, and now they needed to do something different, something better. And I'm so excited for next week to jump up on this question, because I think it's so good for us to come at our faith, work through your faith with fear and trembling,
yes.
to come at our faith critically mm-hmm. and to look and see where we can do a little bit better, where we can grow closer to the Lord, even when it's challenging to us, even when it maybe it feels uncomfortable to say, oh, I've done this my whole life, but what if there's another way?
What if there's a better way? What if there's a way we can be closer? And so I think next week we're really going to be challenging some beliefs. I think Craig mentioned his intent is to offend every single person. So he laughed and said that's not really the case. But at the root of that, we're going to be taking a deeper look into, you know, why we worship the way we worship. That's why we've looked at the Old Testament worship. Now we've looked at New Testament worship. So next week we're going to be really focusing on getting down to the why behind what we do, and looking at especially some of those traditions that may or may not be found in scripture, but it's just kind of been the way we've always done things.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I'm thinking of there's a song that came out when I was in high school. It's not a hymn. I didn't go to a hymn church. But the lyrics that we sang, it was break down the walls of all my religion and tear down the something of all my traditions, because your way right. is better. And right. I just love that. It's take away all of the things that I hold on to so deeply so that I can let go and truly be submissive to your way.
Yes. And how God wants to be worshiped, how he's outlined how he would like to be worshiped, is worth our time and consideration. So that is what we are going to be focusing on. So thank you, Emily. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you all for listening. I highly encourage you to, if you haven't listened to last week's podcast, go back and listen to when we talk about Old Testament worship. Thank you for listening today, whether you start your week with us, whether you use us as a midweek pick-me-up, or you end your week with us. Thank you so much for being here. Until next time, bye everyone.
This
is After Sunday.